slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. The Kenosha area has a new high-production commercial farm facility, but without any dirt. Square Roots Farms are classified as high-tech agriculture. The farm, which has been in operation for just a few months, is the result of a partnership between Square Roots and Gordon Foods, and just the fourth of its kind in the country. Today, we will be talking with Assistant Farm Manager Jerry Bradley and Mark Sherman, who is the corporate liaison with Gordon Food Service. So Square Roots Farming sounds like a really unique concept. I was so intrigued by it when I first heard about it months ago. And I don't know what that really means. I believe it's hydroponic farming. Jerry, can you address that, please?
Yeah, sure, Jane. Yeah, we're a hydroponics farm. We were started not too long ago in 2016 by Tobias Peggs and Kimball Musk. But the concept is that we're going to be growing vertically and horizontally. So when we're using basically just water, nutrient-enriched water to help our basil and our cold herbs grow, like cilantro, dill, and parsley. And so like the vertical farming is grown in towers, like it says, vertically. So we have like basil, like 22 basil plants kind of stacked on top of each other in a tower. And when you say hydroponics, it's not entirely water because we have a soilless medium. We plant the seeds in and the roots grow in there, but then it's kind of fed by sort of gravitational dripping. The water goes down the tower, feeds the roots, and they grow amazingly well. It's almost like a little bit of a little technology, a little old school agriculture, you know, and it works out really well in our farm. And we also grow vertically too, which is kind of like on trays what we call flats, which you might see in conventional regular farming or in the farmer's market where people sell their tomato starts or things like that. So, and those are also called flood racks. And they're called flood racks because every so often we have a cadence where the trays flood and, you know, gives the roots and the plants the water and the nutrients they need. So I hope that clears that up a little bit. That paints a nice picture.
Yes, Jerry. And I'm going to ask you even more to go into greater detail, but I also want to talk about it in terms of where is this? And I know it's in partnership with Gordon Foods, and we do have a Gordon representative with us today. Mark, could you talk about it from the Gordon side? And then we were going to get into the nitty gritty.
Sure, happy to. Well, obviously, and I'm sure your listeners will agree, the growth in demand for fresh, locally grown food has only increased during the pandemic. And in fact, we've seen tremendous growth even in these past 10 years, but that's certainly accelerated. So the ability for Square Roots to be able to deliver that high quality all year produce locally is incredibly powerful and valuable to us and to our customers. And then putting those indoor farms in proximity to our distribution centers gives us a terrific opportunity to create that hyper-local food. And there's a wonderful sort of connection to our history. We're a 125-year-old family-owned company that actually began as a local food distributor. So this is in a sense, a wonderful return to our roots.
That does sound very cool. And again, I'm going to come to you for a lot more details to better understand your distribution method and why this was a unique opportunity for you to have these types of farms. But going back to you, Jerry, Square Root, the company itself and how the this concept got started. Can you talk a little bit to that?
Sure. Yeah, like I say, in 2016, so it's not that old. It started in Brooklyn, New York, as initially as a way to introduce local food, fresh, healthy food into an urban setting, because there's not much ways to grow food in the middle of the city. So this was started in a sense to train farmers. And I have a background in farmer training and, regular soil-based farming, but to train people how to grow and to sell food within the city. So, and that model from its sort of initial sort of humble roots sort of expanded into growing hydroponically in freight containers. And so that's kind of where sort of our environmental focus starts to come into focus, because, we're taking these old freight containers, we're trying to recycle them and put them to good use where they can produce food that's fresh, healthy, local, and also that's going to be producing, we hire people, it's going to help the economy, the little local economy. So it's all super locally focus too. So that's kind of the nice thing. And then from there, in Brooklyn, they partnered with GFS into Grand Rapids, and now into most recently into Kenosha. And Mark, you can probably talk a little bit more about those co-partnerships that we're having with y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. That first facility was in 2019. In Wyoming, Michigan, or for those who might be more familiar with Grand Rapids, Michigan, Wyoming, a neighboring community, and that's where we're headquartered. And then we have since, I think to date now, we have four farms in operation with the team from Square Roots, and certainly ambitions to see this grow further. One point I would make, Jane, you were talking about technology with Jerry. They're leading edge technology, and they really are on the front end of this hydroponics and vertical growing. But that has also been one of the great attractions to us. I mean, we're a company that really values innovation and have prided ourselves on being innovation leaders within our own industry and space, and very attracted to the technology that Tobias and Kimball had brought to us, and immediately saw an opportunity to partner with folks on the front edge of food innovation.
And I think this is really, maybe both of you can address this. I hear about this Square Roots transparency timeline, and I basically, it tracks how long it takes, I believe, from growth to distribution, correct?
Yeah, it does a number of different things. So when you see our produce, on the store shelves, on the back, it's going to have a QR code on there, and you can use your phone to follow a link, and that link will take you to it will show you the exact time that it was harvested and packed, and it'll also let you know who was harvesting and packing that product. So it's kind of like you can sort of put a name to the food that you are going to be consuming, that you have on your table right there. So it's nice. And the other thing is that it just show that how fast it goes. I mean, how quickly it goes from our place to from our facilities, say here in Kenosha, to the stores, and then to, obviously somebody's table or in their kitchen. Like, if you can humor me, I'll give you an example. Like, it was last 2 weeks ago on Thursday, we were packing basil for Steinbrink's Piggly Wiggly in Kenosha. And I work Sunday through Thursday. So I was with my daughter on Friday morning. So we went to we were going to, I was trying to pick her out a bike at Southport Bikes and Boards. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty close to the Piggly Wiggly. So I just shot over there with her. And we went to see if any of our product was on the shelves there. And sure enough, there it was. So less than 24 hours from when it was packed in our facility here in Kenosha, it was already on the shelves. And I mean, when you're, that's about as fresh as you can get. That's like farmer's market fresh, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. I mean, I used to have a farm. I used to take my produce to the farmer's market and everybody else. And we were always picking stuff the day before to get in the market the next day. And so this is kind of a more of a modernized version of that, where we're getting using technology and sort of like trying to shorten the supply chain in order to get product into the shelves. And also fresher food lasts a lot longer. It's healthier, it's longer lasting. So there's a lot of advantages tied into that.
And Mark, I would imagine that's having that ability to get fresh food to customers that quickly would be a great sales tool, if nothing else, for the company.
Yeah, enormously important and valuable. And maybe to step back a little bit of an explanation about our business, Jane, that will sort of add further light to that. So the bulk of our business is actually wholesale food distribution to restaurants, hospitality venues, and also education and healthcare institutions. But a significant portion of our business is through what we call the Gordon Food Service stores, and there are several in and around the Kenosha area, and those are open to both commercial accounts and to the general public. So to this point of shelf life and quality, obviously the consumer is extremely interested in that. And as we were saying earlier, the growth in demand for fresh produce and local produce is only continuing. But for commercial kitchens, restaurants, and the like, shelf life is extremely important, and obviously food quality. And with the just picked nature of the Square Roots product, then we see a tremendous increase in the shelf life, and that translates to real value for both commercial and consumer customers.
And I'm going to toss the ball back to you, Jerry, and talk about how you generate this fabulous produce year round, and really how that compares. You mentioned that you were a farmer, a dirt farmer. You grew things in dirt prior to growing things in water. And how does this really extend the season, extend your ability to grow in mass quantity year round?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was interested in that myself when I was, when they recruited me to work here. And it's the quality of the stuff, the basil that we grow. I'm just going to use basil as an example, if that's okay, is right up there. It's pretty impressive. And because I do, that was my specialty, was growing basil in Southern Illinois where I had my farm. So, but using that as an example, I mean, we have 13 full-time farmers here that are working on the production. So they're seeding, they're transferring the product, they're harvesting, they're packing it. So, so that's part of the flow of everything that's going on. And the interesting thing about how that goes too is like, we have, when you walk into the facility, food safety is very important. So we have to go through a decon room, which stands for decontamination. So we have to suit up in our special kind of like overalls. We have a boot wash, we wash our hands. And then we go into the facility where the packing space is. And if you can sort of picture that, there's going to be like a lot of stainless steel. There's going to be a lot of hoses and stuff for and sanitization equipment. But what's really interesting is like when you get into the actual zones, and the zones are what we call where we grow the actual product. So we're growing the basil, we're growing the cilantro, the dill, we're growing the microgreens and the lettuce bases and the tatsoi. And so in each one of those zones is like climate controlled. So we're going to be monitoring the air temperature, the water temperature, the relative humidity, the carbon dioxide, and also all of the nutrients that go into the water. So when you walk into like a basil zone, it's pretty amazing. It's just like you can smell this, just the smell of that basil is just
amazing. I can vouch for it. It's really extraordinary.
And so you're sort of surrounded by a wall. There's a wall of basil on your left and a wall of basil on your right. And then you're just, yeah. So, it looks really good. It looks like the stuff that you just pull out of the field.
That is wild. So the basil is vertically grown, right? Versus yes. Horizontally.
Yes, it is. Right. Yeah. And then
go ahead.
Yeah. And the other thing is like a lot of this is run by our phones. So Square Roots has, you know, invested a lot in the technology to be able to sort of empower our growers to be able to manipulate all of the different environmental conditions that are needed to optimize, you know, the yields and also the quality, and also to keep, you know, any pests or diseases at bay, which because our facility is so clean, we don't have those problems like say outdoor farmers might. So, but you know, all that stuff can be run from our phones. We can turn things on or off. You know, we can raise the temperature of the of each zone. We can lower it, and so all of those different technological elements, you know, go into making like what Tobias wants to say is like where the basil originally came from, where the best basil. So if you've heard of sweet basil or Genovese basil, that's from Genoa, Italy. And that's the climate that met right there on the Mediterranean, that sort of like hot and humid climate where basil is just going to thrive and it's going to be really good. So that's kind of what we're shooting for. And it's, it's working out pretty good.
That does sound amazing. And I think anybody who's kind of looked into hydroponics, what they envision would be, there's that kind of almost like a tree stand where you have little shelves, and it's so compact because it's mostly for home use. To take that to the commercial level where, like you say, there's a wall of basil, two walls of basil, help me better understand what that looks like. You've mentioned things like freight containers. You've talked about horizontal and vertical growing. And you've talked about a wall of basil. And each zone has a different type of growing situation based on the plant?
Yeah, pretty much. So just imagine if you've seen those freight containers on the back of a semi-trailer on the highway or just a semi-trailer itself. So mm-hmm. Each container or zone is 40 feet long by 8 feet wide. And then it's sort of packed with a lot of, air conditioning equipment and, you know, pipes and plumbing and pumps and all sorts of things to help keep everything flowing. And so, like I said, it's kind of a tight space, but that microclimate that's included in there is like the plants respond very well to that. And so when you walk in there and there's it's kind of like an island of lights in the middle, because we have a lighting cycle that we use LED lights to, give the plants to do their photosynthesis thing, you know? And so basically, if you were to go to the GFS campus, which is just kind of like north of Kenosha by the airport, and it's nighttime, it would glow kind of red. It would look like almost like a sunset, you know, color red or pink, kind of a pinkish hue. And so that's what it looks like from the outside. And the inside, you know, we have special glasses that we wear for those types of things. But that does that kind of help paint a picture of what it looks like on the inside of a basal? And I just want to say, like, yeah, so we have 24 zones in production altogether. So we have 10 for basal, we have 4 for cold herbs, and then we have 6 for our lettuce mixes, so our microgreens and our lettuce bases. And then we have nurseries too. We have 3 nurseries, so where everything, all the plants, when we can start getting them ready to grow to be transplanted. And then we also have a germination room. So those are our 24 sort of like individual containers that the process from seed to harvest to pack.
This is so incredible. And I wish I could go in and see it. And I understand why I can't, because you mentioned about the clean room type of situation and how careful you have to be in order to keep the, I'm visualizing my basil with little holes chomped out of it because of some critter getting to it, and right. To make sure no critters are about, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah. So that's very important, because once you get stuff like that, that's very hard to get rid of. So that we put all of our energy into preventative ways of keeping that kind of thing from happening, so we don't have to be reactive.
And that's a key point, Jane. If we didn't mention that earlier, the other advantage of the controlled environment is that you can avoid the use of pesticides and a number of other more sort of artificial means to protect the crop.
And I would imagine it also avoids use of various chemicals to keep things artificially fresh, because of your delivery mechanism to take it to market.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Right.
I was trying to continuing the point, Jerry, that you had made about the LED lighting, and you've talked a number of times about enhanced water. Let's talk about how closely you can duplicate the positive part of growing things outside when you're inside, the nutrients, the lighting.
Well, one of the things that is nice about hydroponics is you think it's water, but like the connotation is water, obviously, but we use about 95% less water than conventional agriculture. So a lot of the water is conserved in every possible way that we can. So, and then our lighting, for example, too, is LED lighting. And LED lighting is much more energy efficient than any sort of conventional lighting that would take to grow plants at the level that we're growing them. So, you know, the nice thing about Square Roots that I like is, like, my background is organic farming. So I'm 100% about the environment. So, but you know, with Square Roots, their focus on environmental sustainability is really nice. It's good to work for a company that stands behind that sort of stuff. And so the environmental part is their footprint, are working very hard to reduce their footprint in every way imaginable. So they do put quite a bit of resources into reducing those types of things. So it is good, for sure.
And that seems to align with what you're trying to do also corporately, Mark.
Oh, yeah, very much. You know, again, fresh and local, those are certainly appealing value qualities for consumers and restaurateurs as well. And there's, as we've said, lots of good business case to be made. But But no question, a big part of our attraction, again, to the technology and to the partnership, is that shared vision and commitment to local quality food done right, with a sensitivity to the environment and as well, you know, as I think John was mentioning earlier, the issue of bringing fresh and local to urban areas that are, you know, often underserved in that regard. So there's a real meeting of the minds, I think, in terms of the values that are represented by this technology and the approach.
And the fact that you are really an excellent example of high-tech agriculture, to some extent, it must have been hard to find people who were knowledgeable in it because it is a relatively new concept. But I'm thinking about how the people who do work for you are really learning fabulous skills and probably generating other new ideas in farming. What sort of positions, you've talked a little bit about the from growing to packing, but how are some of your employees learning about this kind of farming, and how do you think that's going to play out in the future?
Yeah, well, it's really nice because people, they do want to work for this, for a place like Square Roots. And we call, this goes back to what I originally mentioned, the at the origins of Square Roots was kind of to train farmers. And that spirit of that is definitely still there. So we call all of our growers in the, when they start, they're kind of apprentice growers. And so that apprentice, when we start from there, the apprentice is kind of like, they're going to start from kind of like what they know what they know, but we're going to teach them everything there that they need to know about growing in an urban environment, growing hydroponically, producing like really quality fresh food using this technology. So the apprentice, when we go, we move to associate and then a senior associate. And the nice thing about Square Roots too is that since it is a fast growing company right now, and it's also in a very, very competitive field right now. So it's kind of, hydroponics is hyper competitive right now. So we're kind of in that mix, you know, distinguishing ourselves by the way that our kind of our culture is too. It's not just our technology, it's not just the quality of the plants we grow, but also the company culture is an important part of the whole equation. Mm-hmm. So our growers are going to be learning, and we also set aside, you know, they're not just production, you know, robots or anything like that. We make sure to set aside a couple of hours, and we're working, you know, a week. So they have what we call admin time, so they can find projects that they're particularly suited towards, you know, and they can develop that. So if they want to do some sort of environmental analysis, they can focus on that. If they want to work on trying to refine the way that we're seeding procedure, the certain seeding procedures, that's something that we want to encourage them to develop. We also like, for example, cilantro is something that we grow, and it's very finicky as far as getting it to germinate within the conditions with the certain kind of plugs, the soilless media that we use. And so like we could sit there and say like, hey, you know what? We know that we went to school, you're interested in, you know, certain, you know, biology and botany, and you want, maybe you could take a look at this. And so basically the sky is kind of the limit of where people, we can point people in the direction to sort of help them improve themselves while improving the company, you know. And, you know, Tobias, you know, he goes to these, a lot of these meetings to, when we bring the new farmers on, and he talks about scaling up the culture. And, you know, I can, that's something I can really get behind because, you know, so far it's really been a good experience to contribute to that, to participate in that, and then to also to be along with the farmers as they're getting into that kind of culture too.
Jerry, what have you personally learned since you've started working with Square Root?
Well, like I said, my background was in, like you said, dirt farming. And, you know, I've been a proud dirt farmer for a long time. And so a lot of the hydroponics is like, is learning just about the plants and how they do respond differently to that kind of environment and to the lighting and to the nutrients that, you know, we give them to may help them grow optimally. And so there's a lot of, what I would say to learn most is a lot of, you got to be kind of like a plumber. You got to be an electrician. You got to know your math, you know? So there's a lot of different moving parts and pieces and things that really helps you keep you on your toes, you know? And I, these are things I can go back and, you know, show my daughter and we can do little experiments and things like that. It's kind of fun, you know?
I bet it is. Mark, you probably had to learn quite a bit too, as these types of projects have spread across your company.
Well, I will confess the technologies and there are a number of them involved are certainly outside of my wheelhouse, but I've become familiar, you know, from a layman's perspective with the operations, and they are so impressive. And we were describing earlier visually, they're also just sort of beautiful. I hope you'll have a chance to see them at some point. I also wanted to piggyback though, Jane, on the discussion about the farmers. I have had some conversation with some of the farmers that have been brought on in Michigan. In fact, when we first announced that project and then did the grand opening. And I have to say, as somebody with a couple of young adults in my own family, I just was so impressed by the caliber of the people that Square Roots has been recruiting and the, you know, the sort of passion that they bring to it. It was very evident that this technology, this business, if you will, I think has great appeal to young people. And to be a part of something that's, again, fresh, local, and involves technologies that are, you know, on the leading edge, I think is, you know, it clearly excited the folks that they were able to recruit in West Michigan, and I'm sure that's true in the Kenosha area as well.
Well, I have to admit, this is where the cynical side of me came through, but I'm now a believer. But Jerry, when you were talking about you set aside time for employees to explore their learning, really, so many companies, they might talk that game, but frankly, they don't deliver. But you're giving realistic examples of where that happened. And Mark, you're kind of supporting that, aren't you?
Yeah, I've certainly seen that sort of enthusiasm within the teams that I've dealt with.
Yeah, just the employee empowerment is part of the and the real, they walk the talk, you know. So we are, our apprentice growers, all of their pay is tied to the MIT Living Wage Index for this region and for the different regions around the country, you know, because it's not the same everywhere around the country. So anytime that changes, you know, if it goes higher, then we make those adjustments and, you know, give them back pay if they need back pay for that, because sometimes it's a little, it lags a little bit. But, you know, that's one of the things. We make sure our employees have a living wage. And again, with the admin time, they have a volunteer time. I think it's 48 hours of volunteer time that will, if they want to go to somewhere in the community and volunteer their time, they can get that in back in vacation time. So And then we do encourage community engagement type of events. So we went to the Root Pike River water, the Root River in Racine. We did an event, a cleanup earlier this year. So it was that volunteer time again to kick back into their paid time off. So
then will there be an opportunity for the general public to get a little bit more introduced to, because I know you're now up and running and feeling more comfortable with what you're doing here in Kenosha?
100%. You know, COVID has been kind of thrown a real wrench into everything with that. Yes. You know, we're definitely wanting to do kind of that kind of thing, but right now we're in the red status, you know, and we take COVID very seriously, so we're all masked up here and to take all the safety precautions that we can. So right now we can arrange to do some kind of tours, but they can only be from the outside at this point in time, because of that, and because of the contamination things too. So those two things, it's a little hard, but we can see inside from the outside, and it does look pretty interesting. You can get a pretty good sense of how that looks from the outside too. So,
now that totally makes sense. I'm going to switch back over to Mark, and I know that, it really began with the partnership with Gordon Foods, with GFS, but how is Square Roots growing now in partnership with your company?
Well, as I think we may have said earlier, this is the Kenosha facility is one of four facilities that we've now developed in partnership with Square Roots. And there are more on the books planned. We certainly have ambitions to see this across our distribution footprint, which is essentially the entirety of the eastern U.S., think Mississippi and east. And then we are coast to coast in Canada. We do not have any facilities in Canada at this time, but I know that there is interest on the part of our people. But certainly, you know, we have great ambitions to see this continue to expand with additional facilities, and more will be coming online this year.
Oh, that's great. And Jerry, you know, we've been talking about primarily leafy things. We've been talking about basil, cilantro, some of the microgreen type salad mixes. Is this type of farming, and I'm not saying today or tomorrow, but is this general approach something that could extend to other vegetables?
Yes, for sure. It's not as simple as it is with some other leafy greens, like you mentioned. But, you know, we have a pretty good R&D department. They're working on some fruits, strawberries, beets even. Beets would be a nice, I think, addition to our slate of veggies. So, but definitely that's a kind of a constant thing that they're working on and developing to try to do that kind of thing, get some calorie crops in there. And, so it will help to sort of like round out that vision of providing, you know, food in urban areas, you know, to cut out the supply chain, to lower the carbon footprint, that kind of thing. But I used to be an organic flower farmer, you know, edible flowers are kind of, that's my vote. Yes, we're constantly working on different things to try to, and that's something that we're definitely going to be hopefully one of these days introducing, you know.
Oh, sure. It's got to go with what's working at the time. But that, again, that sounds like something that is part of the Square Roots culture, is that kind of R&D. To move forward. And did I hear you say beets?
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Okay.
So,
Be sort of like the last crop I would imagine would be.
sort of counterintuitive, doesn't it? But yeah.
For me, it is. I keep wanting to heap more ground on mine, but okay. I will believe you. So again, we have just a few moments left, and for the Kenosha community, you mentioned it, they really can't just drive up and stare at your farm right now, correct?
Not really. Not yet
No,
anyway.
that's yeah. I just,
Yeah,
I guess what
we'll
I would do,
discourage
I don't
that
want
for now,
anybody to
Jane.
think this is an invite to come in and drive onto the Gordon Foods property and stare at the various big freight containers.
Yeah, we've got some good pictures and stuff online. If people are interested, they can take it out. They can go squareroots.com.
That's great, because then they'll be able to see some of the things that we've been talking about with I assume you have inside photos as well as the outside photos.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And our farmers and everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. So again, we talked a little bit about the future. We've talked about being able to really encourage young people to try a new technology of farming and to be more sustainable practices, that they learn more about that. And young people love to use their phones to control everything. So I'm sure that sounds like that's right up their alley. And Gordon Foods has more on the books, and we can look for more probably in the future to expand the farms.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly the network of farms, and if the Kenosha facility is similar in its success as our West Michigan facility, we'll hopefully be expanding that farm in due time.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining me today. We've been talking with Mark Sherman, who is the corporate liaison for Gordon Food Service. And Gordon Food Service has a location here in the Kenosha area, just east of I-94. And that's where the farms are located as well. And Jerry Bradley, who is the assistant farm manager for Kenosha. Where roots grow. I have learned so much today. Thank you both very much.
Oh, this is great, Jane. Thank you.
A real pleasure, Jane. Thanks.
For more information about Square Roots, find squareRootsGrow.com. As Jerry mentioned, many photos on the website help illustrate what we heard about today with this very unique farming approach. Thank you for joining us.
Support comes from Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues, Saturday, August 20th at Kenosha's Lakefront, featuring Richard Elliott and the Mike Wheeler Band. Also, R&B sensation Lady A and Chicago DJ Tony Lane step in for academic excellence. Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues begins at 12:45 p.m. with the Cooking Studio. Tickets are available at MahoneFund.org. Proceeds benefit the Mahone Fund Career Exploration Organization Mentoring Program.
Here's the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. A chance of rain this afternoon. Highs will be in the upper 70s. For tonight, about a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s. And for tomorrow, a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs will be in the mid-70s. You're listening to WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva on your gateway to public radio.
Support comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center, a trusted resource since 1999. The ADRC is a no-cost, one-stop shop for older people, adults with disabilities, and their families. Call 262-605-6646.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, the Racine Art Museum presents Blurry Boundaries, Contemporary Artists, Imagination, and the Spaces Between, featuring works highlighting the connection between reality.
24/7 Jazz HD2 is available on your smartphone. For jazz, big band, and blues, go to the App Store and download the free WGTD app. HD2 is still available on your desktop.